2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. As you find that, would you stand, please, tonight? Before we read the text, I want you to look at me a moment. I want to talk to you about a worldwide evangelism program. I want to present to you this evening a worldwide evangelism program. It has been effective for centuries, and unfortunately, it is very effective. Did you know that Satan has a program for worldwide evangelization? There's so many reasons why we just cannot sit on our hands when it comes to getting the gospel to this world. Many reasons. And one of them is the devil will not wait on us. His program is well funded. His program is well organized. It is worldwide. It covers the four corners of this earth. I'm shocked. I remember being out in Kenya, in Africa, driving through the bush. And there's a guy standing there in a Shaq t-shirt out in the middle of nowhere. I've been in places in this world before where we were there for the first time, but the world was already there. Satan has a program for worldwide missions. We need to understand that. We need to realize something tonight. While we consider what we're going to do, Satan is way ahead of us on this thing, way ahead of us. He has been running his program, working his system. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4 says he is the God, little g God, of this world. Don't mistake what that means. That doesn't mean he's a figurehead. He's powerful. I'm not here to exalt the devil tonight by any means. I hate him. I hate what he is. I hate what he does. I hate how he's destroyed lives. He is truly the roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He can appear as an angel of light. I hate him. I hate what he does. I hate the cause and effect and all the damage that he does in this world. But ladies and gentlemen, we better get real about something tonight. We better realize something. America got caught on 9/11 by terrorists who outsmarted us and literally changed this world and our society because they got ahead of us on something. Well, let me tell you something, friend. There's a terrorist out there that makes those guys look like Boy Scouts, and his name is the devil, and he is way ahead of us on this stuff. And he's got a program to evangelize this world with his message. He's got a program to make sure that he gets what he wants said, taught, believed, etc. He's got a program for that. And if we are going to hesitate for a second, he is not. If we are going to back down for a moment, he'll step up. He's already stepping up. He is waiting. That's why it says he is a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is looking for occasion and opportunity. And all he needs for us to do is just be a little bit passive. Just be a little bit, just take our time, realize what we're supposed to do. 40-some% of the world's wealth is in this nation. We've already covered statistics and talked about how we'll spend, Halloween comes around, we'll spend $1.1 billion in America to put costumes on our pets. The devil loves that kind of stuff. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Make your dog look like a chicken. Go ahead. Spend all that money on this kind of stuff. He loves the materialism of this society. And he likes for Christians to get caught up in it and realize if we're just more concerned about us than anybody else, it's okay because he is more concerned about what he's doing than some of us are about what we're doing. So there has to be more than just a thought. There has to be more than just a concern. There has to be more than just an awareness. We've got to do something, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm telling you, the enemy is ahead of us on this thing. I'm shocked to find places in this world, remote places. We're driving through this one area in Kenya, and the Maasai people are out there watching their cattle right in the middle of lion country. And you see these mud huts they would make for a little temporary dwelling place. And you know, the Maasai are very tall. And they have these mud huts. They're about that high and about, 8, 10 feet long. And they just crawl in there at night and sleep. And we're driving along, and about every other little mud hut had a satellite dish on it. And I thought, where's the power station out here? I mean, where's the power lines? They must have had generators. I don't know where it was. But they're in their little mud hut with a little television set watching TV. And you say, well, that's just the world. No, friend, you don't get it. He is out there with his message. He is promoting what he says, believes, and he is aggressive about this thing. Satan's program for world evangelization. Let's pray. Father, bless now tonight, I pray in Christ's name. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 4, for he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Father, help us tonight, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Verse 4 is Satan's program. You see that, verse 4? Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. That's what he's about. He's about the business. Hey, the devil doesn't have any problem with the world knowing about Jesus. The devil has no issue with what the world saying, the name of Jesus, knowing the name of Jesus. He doesn't have a problem with religion, Christian religion. He doesn't have a problem with that as long as they are preaching another Jesus. Another here means another of a similar but completely different kind. It's like an oxymoron. It's like saying, you know, criminal lawyer. But the truth of the matter is, you get the idea, it's another Jesus. Now, look here, that's the devil. He's out there presenting another Jesus. Oh, he's got the one up on the cross, the one that's always crucified, constantly crucified, always lying there on that cross, up there on that cross. He likes that because that looks like a dead Jesus. You know what I mean? I have no problem with the cross as a symbol and a representation. But let's not put Jesus on the cross and leave him up there. Oh, we preach Christ and him crucified, but we preach Christ, him crucified, and risen from the dead. You see what I'm saying? So he has no problem with that. He has no problem with preaching another Jesus. So what is it today? In the secular mind of most people, Jesus is like Muhammad. Jesus is like Buddha. Jesus is like one of the 330 million gods of the Hindu religion. I remember when we were there in India and we would witness to people. You could walk up to a person in India and without even knowing them, no conversation whatsoever, say, would you like to pray and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Every one of them would say yes without any hesitation, without even any presentation of the gospel. Because they have 330 million gods in the Hindu religion. And if they're thinking, I'll just add another one to the list, they have no problem with that. Oh, but then if you start declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must trust him and him alone for your salvation, now you got a whole other concept in their thinking. Now all of a sudden they start realizing, oh, you're talking about the fact that he is the God, he is the Savior, he is the one. Oh, yeah, then it's different. Oh, man, we were in places over there where the Hindus, these Hindus that are supposed to be so pacifistic and all that kind of stuff, they're hacking preachers' arms off, torturing people, burning their houses and tearing things down because they preach that Christ is the only hope of salvation. See, the devil doesn't have a problem with you talking about Jesus. The devil doesn't have a problem as long as you put him on the list. If he's on the list somewhere, he is not on a list with Muhammad. He is not on the list with Buddha. He is not on the list of the Hindu religions. He is not on the list of, he's not the Jesus as I know him and Jesus as I understand him. Oh, he loves that one. That's just one of his favorites. God as you understand him. God as you know him. Hey, we don't make God. He made us. The truth is that another Jesus thing that's very popular in the world today. So they don't have issues with that. You know, yeah, I love it when people say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I have my own understanding about who he is. That's as satanic, ladies and gentlemen, as anything on this planet. We don't make up who Jesus is. He already is who he is. And our job is to lift him up and present Christ as the only hope of salvation. All religions accept and present their version of Jesus. I remember witnessing to Muslims and how they would say, oh, we respect Jesus. We respect Jesus and we respect Abraham and we respect Moses. And Jesus was a great prophet and that kind of stuff. And you start thinking, well, you know, sound like they have some kind of respect. No, they respect him where they want to put him. They got him over there in the corner, see? They got the Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and all that kind of stuff. Ah, but then there's Abraham is God's, Muhammad is God's prophet, and Allah is the God, blah, blah, blah. Well, you start talking about the fact that no. He's not on the list, friend. Those guys aren't even on the list with Jesus. He is high and lifted up, and you lift him up and exalt Jesus Christ as the Son of God and God the Son. Woo! Then all of a sudden you got problems with these folks. Then they don't see that. But see, Satan has no problem. That mission, his evangelization of the world includes a Jesus. A Jesus. And he'll let you make up the one you want. He'll let you decide what kind of one you want. He'll let you decide. You can talk about Jesus. You can mention Jesus. You can put him in your list and names and everything else. Boy, you don't talk about politically correct Jesus nowadays. Yeah, everybody wants to talk about the loving Jesus and the caring Jesus. And he is loving and he is caring and he is forgiving. But he's also the judge of this world when it's all over and said and done. And when you start exalting Christ and putting him in the place the Bible puts him in, the place God wants him to be, oh, that's a whole separate thing right there. And Satan will fight that. Boy, he'll fight that like you cannot believe. And that's why some Christian religions, they oppose us. And they say, well, you Baptists, you know, you talk like you're the only ones who know anything. No, we know what the Bible says and we lift up Christ. So let's not put him on the cross. He was there, but he ain't there anymore. And he is a risen, living Savior. He's the Son of God and the hope of this world. You see, it says there in verse number 4. Look, he says, he warns people to be careful in verse 4 that he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. We're risking the wrath of the evil one when we preach Christ. But you want to know something? I want him mad at me. I want him angry at me. I want him to know that I am preaching the Christ of the Bible, the Savior, the Son of God. Now, people look at me. In America today, they're doing everything they can to shut us up. They're trying to quiet us down real good. They're trying to say, look, it's no problem. You can talk about Jesus, but don't you go and start talking about he's the only hope of salvation. He's the only way to be saved. He's the only. No. Now, let me just give you a little concept on this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if now we're going to do it kindly. We're going to do it. We're going to present it clearly. But let me tell you something. We're not going to back down on this thing. There is one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're going to make it very clear about that. And we're going to make it so clear that it can't be missed. And there's no mistake in anybody's mind about what we are and what we're doing. As you know, Mike Ray and I, we are in India together. And Brother Ray's a master soul winner. He's also a germaphobe. And India is one of the filthiest places I've ever been in my life. And they're wonderful people, but my soul, no wonder they got leprosy over there. Oh, my soul. And Ray, you know, Brother Ray, he's like, oh, did you see that? The house we were staying in with the missionaries, the Indian pastor, was a very nice house, but it wasn't what you would call real clean, especially in the kitchen. And he saw that. You know what he had? The man took cans of Denny Moore beef stew with him to India. And he sat in his room and ate that stew cold out of the can because he would not eat the food. And you know who got sick in India? You might as well eat Alpo and eat that stuff right out of the can. You got to heat it up to kill the bugs in that thing. I mean, whatever's in there. So we're sitting at his pastor's over in a village. We're sitting in the house. They're making us lunch. And Brother Ray's already freaking out. He's thinking, oh, no, what are they going to make us? I said, man, just eat it. Just eat it. Remember to take up no deadly thing. It will not harm you. You've been eating any more stew. It's probably not any worse than that. And he looks and he goes, hey, let's go do some soul winning. So we get some tracks. Just down the almost the front door of this pastor's house, we could see this thing. It looked like a corn crib. Had that metal siding on it, you know, the rib siding. And there was no, all the idol statues, all the idol temples over there, they have all their gods up there, you know, every different kind of one. There was nothing on it that we could see. We walked down the street. We're standing in front of this temple handing out these tracts in the local language. And I'm standing, I'm recording. I should have brought the video so you could see it. And I'm recording. And Brother Ray's, he's handing out tracts. And he goes, I'd like to have, would you take this, please, you know. Finally, this really tall, big Indian man walks up to him. Looks down at him and goes, what are you doing here? Who said you could come here? Who gave you permission to talk in this village? Brother Ray, we're just here from America to tell you that God loves you. And I'm looking at him thinking, this is not going to go good. Then I put the tracks in my pocket. I said, I'm going to record the kill because he's going to get him right here. It's going to happen. And Brother Ray was saying, well, he said, do you know what this is? Who told you you could hand these out in our village? And Brother Ray said, well, we just came from America to want you to know that God loves you, and we wanted you to give something to read. If you have time, sir. He said, I don't care about that, but I want to know who gave you that permission. And all of a sudden, the men start gathering around us. And the pastor had told us they were beating people up for giving the gospel out. And then I'm standing there with a brand new video camera.
thinking, great, I'm going to get stomped to death and I got a midget to fight with me. So after a few minutes, Brother Ray was, I should show you the video. I realize it. Brother Ray turns to me and goes, what do you think I ought to do, Brother Johnson? And I said, tell him you don't understand. Let's walk off. He goes, bye. And we turn around. We start walking off. So I close the camera up and walking down the street. And we're looking over our shoulders to see if these guys are following us. Well, the house that we were in was right there. You could see it from where we were standing. I said, we can't go in that house. They'll know we're in there, and they'll hurt these people after we leave, if not us, while we're there. And my wife was with me, Brother Rule, and his wife was with us. And so I said, let's go down this street. We went down the street around the corner, turned the block, came back this way. They didn't follow us. We went back in the house, and we're sitting down. And the pastor we were with said, where were you? And I said, we were handing these tracts out by that corn crib over there. He goes, that's not a corn crib. That's a Hindu temple. I said, oh. He said, do you know what those tracks say? What? He goes, death is coming. I said, oh. He said, what happened? And I told him, he said, do you realize how close you were to getting killed? And I said, do you realize all I had to do was outrun him? That was all I had to do. Not a problem. And I could eat little legs of that long. I mean, I could outrun that dude in a heartbeat. Piece of cake. Dude, I mean, seriously, trip over a cricket. But everything was fine until they saw a track about Jesus. And the people, listen to me. I don't care where you go, four corners of this earth. The devil is already ahead of us there. And if you want to talk about Jesus, talk about Jesus. You want to preach Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead and the only hope of salvation, you're going to expect the devil to get on your case about that. You're going to find that where you work. You're going to find it in your family. You're going to find it in your neighborhood. You're going to find it in Bourbonnais, Bradley, and Kankakee, and all the rest of them. And you're going to find it on any four corners of this earth. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And there is still power in that gospel. It is. And our job is to get the gospel out, but preach Christ, Him crucified and risen again. Satan has a worldwide missions program, evangelization. Look at verse 4. Then there's this other spirit. Do you notice in your King James Bible? I said your King James Bible. I said your King James Bible. I said your King James Bible. Authorized version, King, never mind. Do you notice the word spirit is a lowercase s there? For you guys in the front row, that's a small one, okay? You know it's a lowercase s? I want to know about my gorilla. What is wrong with you? Lord, you know, I preached the Bible for a whole week, and they want to know about the gorilla. And it's like, I'm hopeless. The lowercase s, you know what that means? That doesn't mean Holy Spirit. Look at it. That means philosophy. That means way of thinking. Oh, Satan's worldwide missions program is promoting the philosophy of satanic thinking. What is that, humanism? That man is the center of everything? You know what we learned from COVID? Not enough. Not enough. Mm-mm. You know what we learned from disasters? You know what we learned from 9/11? Huh? Church population in America, church attendance in America before 9/11, within a week or two after 9/11, it grew about 30%. Less than a month, it was less. Church attendance was less in America after 9/11, within a month. You know why? Because we're America strong. And I like the fact that we're Americans. We know how to pick our bootstraps up and get at it and get going. I don't have a problem with that. The problem with it is this. We leave God out of all this stuff. It's just so humanistic. It's all about the exaltation of man and how man is the center of everything. Hey, look at this situation with abortion. It's my body. No, it's not your body. You know, the truth of the, see, it's all, that's satanic, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no, it's just people's choice. It's not choice. It's satanic. It's humanistic. It's exalting man as the center of everything. And we're the most important thing. And as long as it's just about us and what we do and what I think and what I believe and what I want and what I do and the way I want to live my life, that's the stinking devil. That's the spirit that he has promoted in this world today. That it's all about you and it's all about your life. Forgive me for passing up an opportunity to kick social media one more time. But let's face it. The reason most people are caught up in social media is selfishness. It's all about them and their little stuff and their little circle of friends and their little thing and their involvement. It's all about that. We've got these little punks sitting around giving people counsel and advice about their life, and they have no business telling anybody what to do. But so, look at me, people. You don't get it. We don't understand. That's part of his evangelization program, is to get people to think it's really just about you. It's really about what you want. It's about the humanistic philosophy. Then you spread it to materialism. Well, we need to get the world out. Do you realize if the average American, say evangelical, and pardon the expression, we're not evangelicals, we're fundamentalists, but among evangelical Christians, that broadens the band quite a bit. If the average evangelical Christian in America gave every year, listen now, every year $6.60 per $10,000 of their income, we could fund every missionary that needs to go to the world. So if you make $50,000 a year, you jack up your, if every Christian gave to missions like they should, $6.60, 30 some bucks a year, we could fund every missionary that needed to go to this world. But here we sit and we start talking about, yeah, I knew they're going to talk about giving and missions. See, he's already infected and affected your mind to start thinking about what's it going to cost me. What do I have to give up? What is it going to be? How is it going to work? Because we're caught up in our materialistic lifestyles. That's from the devil, where you put your comfort and your needs above the needs of what God wants in God's work. Oh, we can spread the isms out. Then there's communism. There was a time when we feared communism coming to America. Now we fear communism coming out of the White House, Congress, halls of your right here in Illinois. Governor, what's his lips over here? He said, hey, we got a lousy governor. Come to California and meet the Pope. Unbelievable. The man wants to spend $35 million this next year to fly people to California to have abortions. They can't get them where they want. You say, what's it got to do with communism, Pastor Johnson? Communism is a simple concept, ladies and gentlemen. What's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. It's that simple. And socialism is just communism and needs a hormone check. That's basically all it is. It's fascinating, those isms, the secularism. Well, you know, you religious people, you have your life and I have my life and we all have our lives and everything else is okay. As you're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay. No, you're not okay and I'm not okay and everybody else is not okay either. And the secular idea is, look, as long as you want to talk about God, go ahead. You got your God, I got my God. I think I told you this last time I was here. I was on a flight and I had, for some reason, wound up in a middle seat. I never get a middle seat. And it turns out the guy next to me was a Hindu shaman, priest, high priest, and a businessman on this side. If I told you this, just bear with me a second. And so I start witnessing to this man. He goes, oh, I'm Hindu, and I'm a shaman. And I said, so explain that to me. And I just started talking. It was a four-hour flight. Just started talking with him about it. And I said, so understand that Hinduism has 330 million gods. He goes, that's true. I said, y'all believe in reincarnation, don't you? He goes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Many of us have had many lives. Many lives. I said, question, why isn't the world getting better? He said, what? I said, why isn't the world getting better? If these people have had all these lives and come back, somebody's figuring it out by now, right? I mean, think about the time you start to figure it out, you lose your mind, you don't remember anything. So you come back. He said, I know people had over 100 lives. I said, why don't we have brilliant people on this planet who figured out all the problems then? He goes, I never thought about that. And just about that time, behind me, all of a sudden I hear, uh-huh. Come on, Reverend. You got him now. And this black lady was backing me up, buddy. I'm telling you what. Go ahead, preacher. You got him now. Help him, Jesus. Help him, Jesus. And she was getting a little bit louder as we were going. And the Hindu guy was kind of going. So I kept talking to him, and I said, I got to stop. And I said, he said, but after a while you achieve to nirvana and then you don't come back anymore because you've had that many lives. I said, oh, so they're selfish. And she goes, that's it. Good. That was good, preacher. Boom. You nailed that boy on that one right there, preacher. That was good. That was a good one, preacher. Help him, Jesus. Help this man, Jesus. This man needs to get saved. Help this man, Jesus. So after he talked about his religion, I don't think he understood it. When he got done, he had to get up and go to the bathroom, no doubt. So I turned to a lady. I said, thank you, ma'am, for helping me out. She goes, preacher, you got to get that man. He's a heathen. He's a heathen. You're going to hell. He needs Jesus. I said, yes, ma'am, he does. You keep praying now. We'll work on him. About the time I turned to the businessman next to me, I thought, this poor man. I said, sir, I'm sorry if this is different. He goes, you kidding me? I've been flying 25 years. It's the most interesting flight I have had in 25 years. I said, well, you're a Christian? He goes, yeah, I trusted Christ and gave me his testimony of salvation. So me and that lady behind me worked that man for the rest of the flight. I would love to tell you he's saved, not evangelist preaching for Christ. But the truth of the matter is, here's the deal. You know, it's fascinating to me that this idea somehow or another, you know, as long as it's just about me. And that was his whole religion. He was saying, you believe that and that's your religion. I believe this and this is my religion. It's a win-win situation. I said, no, sir, it's not. According to the Bible, you die, you don't get to go the way you want. You go the way God says, and Jesus is the way, the truth. And I wasn't preaching at him like that. But I was getting him, lady by me, oh, that one, oh, I want to write that one down. That was a good one, preacher. Yeah, that was good. She got a piece of paper out, started writing it down. Secularism. Yeah, you're okay, I'm okay. I'm telling you, friend, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of a sudden, boy, they get uptight on that one. People become their own gods. They become their own gods and decide for themselves. That's the spirit of his evangelization. We must present Christ and the gospel with love and compassion and clarity, but with clarity and conviction and compassion, but presenting it clearly. I've sat next to Catholic priests before and witnessed to them. They take my, I have my Bible. Oh, are you a Christian? I said, yes, sir. I'm a pastor. Oh, I am too. I'm Father Joe. You know, I said, oh, pastor, nice to meet you. And he goes, you call me Father Joe. I said, no, sir. But yeah, it's nice to see you today and talk with you for a moment. And then he goes, you're a Baptist, aren't you? I wasn't being unkind, but he ain't my father. He doesn't know my mama. He doesn't know Jesus. So I'm not going to call him Father Joe. And I was kind to the man and talked to him about it. And that I stood in St. Peter's Square in Rome handing out tracts to nuns. Here you go, sister. Take one of them right there. Here you go. And handing out tracts. And okay. Satan's program has infected and affected this world with a spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Good news. But the Holy Spirit is greater than that. I was sitting next to a man on an airplane one day, and I had my Bible out, and he goes, oh, you're religious, huh? I said, well, I'm a Christian, yes, sir. And I said, I'm a pastor, too. And he goes, I'm an atheist. I said, really? How arrogant. He said, what? I said, how arrogant. He goes, what? I said, sir, how can you say there is no God? He goes, because there is no God. That's what I happen to believe. He goes, what's with the arrogance? So I took a napkin, I had to move my drink over, took the napkin, drew a little circle in there, and I said, now inside this circle, let's say, sir, is all the knowledge of this world today available to mankind. How much of it would you say you have? Let's say you're Einstein, Hawking, squared times 2 plus 4 to the power of 1, and you got like a quarter of it. Isn't it just logical to assume in the knowledge you don't have is the knowledge of God, and you just don't know everything? See, sir, that's why it's arrogant. Then the guy goes, so what am I? Now I have to tell the man what he is. I said, well, I could say you're a fool because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. But I don't want to offend you, but I did tell you that. But the truth is, you're agnostic. You believe there's something out there, you just don't know what it is. But, sir, you and I sitting here today are living proof there's a God in heaven. He said, how do you figure that? I said, where are you going? Oh, I think he was going to Florida. I said, I'm going to Chicago. And for some reason, on a plane with 250 people on it, I'm sitting right here with a Bible in my hand, and you're sitting right there. Going to different parts of this country. If that ain't God, pal, I don't know what is. I needed that lady. And he just said, well, that's coincidence. I said, no, sir, that's not coincidence. The God that you don't believe in put this preacher right here to tell you this, that God loves you, my friend, and Christ died for you. I wasn't mad at this man. I wasn't using pulpit tactics and personal dealings. He said, God loves you, my friend, and he's God made sure I'm sitting next to you to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And I went to the plan of salvation with him, and he just blew me off. He said, yeah, well, that's okay for you. I said, well, no, sir, I want you to think about what I said to you. And I gave him a track and stuff. You ever need, my phone number is on this track. You call me, and I will help you, but you got to know something. God put me next to you to help you understand. You don't even know what you are, sir. But God loves you enough. And I just went to the plan of salvation with him two or three times. I've had him turn it down. I've had him trust Christ. I've had him get saved. It's amazing to me how the Spirit of God can do something greater than the spirit Satan put in this world. One more. What is it in verse number 4? Preach another gospel. Hey, another gospel. All kinds of religions today in the world. And you say, oh, there's so many of them, Pastor Johnson. Thousands of them. Nail it all down in one category. Do or done. What do you got to do? What do you got to do? I don't care if it's Christian, non-Christian, heathen. I don't care what it is. What do you have to do? That's their religion. Ours is a done religion. Jesus did it. He paid our price for our sins. That is the gospel. The gospel is so simple, pure, and clear. That's why he said, beware lest Satan beguile you of the simplicity that is in Christ. Don't you love it when you witness to somebody and you see the light come on and all of a sudden they just get it. Now they get it. Yeah, I realize what this is. And the gospel has the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. Ah, it's amazing. It's fascinating. And we need to present that gospel. And Satan's got his gospel out there. Oh, the good news that you're going to be all right and we'll get through all of this. And we're Reading strong and we're Bourbonnais strong and we're America strong. And don't worry about that. That's his gospel. His gospel is we can figure this thing out. We can handle this. Why, we can do all this kind of stuff. And the can't stop a stinking virus from sweeping this world. God's trying to shake this world and show them that they need Jesus Christ. God's power is behind that gospel. Satan empowers his gospel of works. Because, you know, for the average person that has any kind of character, they know that whatever you get, you work for. Besides that large population of our country that is now like little babies living off the government. Those people who believe God shows up the 1st and 15th of the month in the mailbox. That better not be you. I said, that better not be you. You hear me? We work for what we get. So in our minds, you come across people. My area up there in Reading, to be honest with people, say, are you from California? You got all the weirdos out there. You know what we have up there? We have people who are ranchers and we have people who are loggers. Never seen a logger with a pink pair of boots. Never have. Never have. Ranchers out there working cattle and stuff like that. Hey, doggy, doggy. There's none of those guys out there either. The truth of the matter is, but you talk to these guys, you start telling them about salvation is a free gift paid for by Jesus Christ, and it costs you nothing but repentance and faith in Christ. In the natural mind, that goes against their thinking. I've worked all my life, and now you're going to tell me I can have salvation, forgiveness, heaven, a standing with God, and it costs me nothing? Everything else I've worked for, everything else I've had. A man was a rancher one day. He said, there's thousands of acres my people have worked for all these generations. Now you're going to tell me I can have salvation, heaven, eternal life, and I do nothing? He goes, that just flies against everything. I said, it flies against everything but what God says. And here's what God says. And go to the plan of salvation and present it to him. The gospel of Satan is, you're okay, I'm okay, just work it out, you'll be fine. God's gospel is, you and I are sinners, we need a Savior, and Christ is that Savior. And we present that gospel to them. I've seen it penetrate in religions. I've seen it penetrate in religions that were so anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible. I've seen it penetrate because it's powerful. And the truth is, Satan wants to present a works gospel, a works hope. You just do the best you can, and you will be fine. I'm amazed at how many times you come across people and you ask them about their testimony. Well, I'm a Christian. Good. Tell me how you became a Christian. There's one man. I said, are you saved, sir? He goes, oh, I am. I said, tell me how it happened. Oh, I was in a car wreck once and it caught on fire and they pulled me out and I got saved. I said, okay, you got out of a car wreck. Now tell me how you got saved. He goes, well, I started drowning once when I was a 12-year-old. Man, they almost died and they pulled me out. So, yeah, I go, no, you tell me how you got saved from being drowned. Tell me how you got saved, sir. After about 4 of those, he stopped and looked at me. He goes, I'm not telling you what you want to hear, huh? I said, no, sir, you're not. You tell me what you did or what happened and what event or experience you had in your life. But you've not given me a testimony of simple, clear, biblical salvation. He goes, well, what is that? And I led him to Christ. You know, we hit on this the other night, but let me hit it one more time. Do you really believe that gospel has that kind of power? Hey, look at me. Do you really believe that? You got lost loved ones you've witnessed to before. Have you given up because they keep rejecting it? Hey, do you really believe you've got to keep going? You've got to. I don't want to bother them about it. Bother them into hell number 1 or bother them into hell number 2. Now, be kind, be understanding, be wise, But keep going. Get every chance you can to give them the gospel and stay at it. You know why? Because the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes it. And we got to keep doing that. So we got these countries like that. And Brother Chacon's testimony about Venezuela. And I want to get with you, Brother Chacon. I want to support you. But the truth of the matter is, it's fascinating to me to see how it had to have a communist government crushed them people out. What is their inflation? 2,500% or something like that. People lying in the streets, starving to death, dying over there. We got a missionary there in Caracas now that we support. He's a Venezuelan man. They're having to grow their own food, raise their own cattle, grab their own milk, to have their own meat, and they got Bible colleges, and he's got a Bible college, and he's reaching folks, and it's amazing what they're doing. But you know what? The truth is, it's a powerful concept to think that God has to shake the world for the world to wake up and realize their need is Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. If they see the need, and there's no one there to tell them, then what good does it do? If they watch their world crumble before them, they're telling us 10,000 people a day are getting saved in China now. Chinese witnessing to Chinese folks. 10,000 people a day. There's billions in that country. I understand that, but 10,000 a day is not too bad because somebody's doing something. Somebody's telling somebody about Christ and salvation. One more time, you cannot stop one person witnessing to one person. You can't stop that. The only one who can stop that is the one with the gospel. Satan's gospel is a good news gospel. Our gospel is the good news. Jesus loves you and you can get saved. Missions conferences should remind us that Satan has a plan for worldwide missions. But God is greater than Satan. And God said God is greater than Satan. I said the spirit of God is greater than the spirit of Satan. I said the gospel of Jesus Christ is more powerful than the gospel of Satan. I said that works, ladies and gentlemen. The truth is we got to stop this idea that somehow or another we've got this thing and there's so much of them and there's so little of us that somehow or another. No, we ain't outnumbered, pal. No, we're not. There's more of them than us, but we are not outnumbered because we do have the big G God of heaven behind what we are. So now what are we going to do about counteracting Satan's worldwide evangelization? Let's stand our feet, please, tonight. I'll tell you how you counteract it. You declare Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Salvation is through Christ alone. You do it with a right spirit, a right attitude, but you make it clear so it can't be missed. I was witnessing to a man one day, he used to be a logger, a great big guy. Our ladies had knocked on their door and they left him a track and stuff. And the wife said, could someone come back and talk to my husband? He's dying of cancer. I went over that afternoon, talked to the man, L.K. Spade, laying there on the couch, big old guy, but just withered away with cancer. Went to the gospel with L.K. and I explained to him how to be saved. His wife's sitting there. I said, now, L.K., would you be willing to trust Christ right now? He said, let's get to it. And he prayed and asked Christ to be a Savior. Died just a few days after that. After I witnessed to him, I turned to his wife and said, Miss Spade, how about you? Have you settled the matter of salvation? She said, oh, yeah, I did. I said, wonderful. When? She said, when he prayed, I prayed. I've seen him witness to him in hospital beds. And they bow their head and they pray and they trust Christ, their Savior. And the other side of the curtain, you hear a person praying and asking Christ to save him. Come on, people, what is wrong with us? Huh? We have the truth and the answer. We have the Savior. We have the gospel. We've got the truth. The only person who can stop that is us. That's it. Just us. Nobody else. Just us. And then if we wait, the devil won't. While we sit back, he'll keep pumping his message out there. But that book is powerful and the gospel is too. And we just got to keep going at this thing and keep hammering away. Because greater is he than is you that is in you than he that is in this world. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. So now what are we going to do here? Say, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, I know the devil. No, you can't mess around. I am not exalting Satan. Satan is, I hate him. I don't hate anybody on this planet, but I hate the stinking devil. But if we twiddle our thumbs, sit on our wallets, take the gospel we've already received and do nothing with it or about it, don't you understand Satan will jump all over that? Brother Chacon was talking about how the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, they flood into these places. Remember when the Iron Curtain went down? The Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses spent millions of dollars jumping into that country. Because you see, false religion isn't going to sit around. They're not going to wait. We got to do something here. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, please bless this invitation moment tonight. Help us this evening, my Father, I pray, to realize we have an adversary. He is an adversary that is to be respected, not given respect, but respected for ability that he has and is working and functioning. But thanks be unto you, my Father, your word is more powerful. Your spirit is greater. The gospel has more behind it. God, help us realize we can't be passive about this now. Help us do our part to push back the missions program of Satan for this world. Bless this invitation now tonight, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We'll turn it over to Pastor.
We just need to get our mouths open and our wallets open and do what God wants us to do.